This KABU program has been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Cotton Cloud Futons, a locally owned business featuring futons and mattresses, frames, covers, furnishings, and accessories which can be made with organic and recycled materials. Cotton Cloud is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland. Information at 503-335-0758 or cottoncloudfutons.com. This KABU program has also been made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland's gay and lesbian community Yellow Pages, providing a wide array of gay-friendly business listings. More information at 503-230-7701 or www.pdxgayyellowpages.com. And now stay tuned for DEY Portland with Julie Sabatier.
Welcome to DIY Portland. I'm Julie Sabatier, and this is my new monthly show on KABU's Thursday radio zine. I'm proud to say that the show now has a regular time. It's on every third Thursday at 10 a.m., so mark your calendars. Each show highlights a different revolutionary do-it-yourself project, and this month we'll be focusing on one of Portland's most pervasive DIY projects, City Repair. The City Repair Project, according to its website, is a group of citizen activists in Portland working to create public gathering spaces. Mark Lakeman was one of the founders of the group.
96 neighborhoods, hundreds of ethnicities, all from village cultures, with gathering places just infused throughout their village landscape. Where are the villages? Like, we're all villagers, we create villages, but where are they? So City Repair is saying, we are missing public squares per capita in this town, something like between 1,500 and 5,000 of them, just in our city alone. But we've forgotten that because they're so missing.
Each spring, City Repair begins new projects during a 10-day event called the Village Building Convergence, or VBC. It's a celebration of natural building and community organizing. This past May, Portland saw its sixth annual Village Building Convergence, with over 20 projects involving at least a dozen neighborhoods. Mark, also known as Motion Lakeman, is still one of the visionaries behind City Repair and the VBC. His hands and boots were caked with a thin layer of mud as he sat down in front of the Sunnyside Environmental School to talk with me about how it all got started.
We're testing a model for direct democracy in which people are able to just literally act locally and make direct change in the places where they live. And the premise that we were testing was, well, what would it be like to just simply take control and just creatively transform where we live instead of waiting for a presidential election or protesting against something we think is outrageous, all of which has to do with, you know, acknowledging that someone else has our power. We just said, okay, let's practice having our own power and work with whatever materials are at the base of our feet and whatever land is available to us, and practice acting as if we lived in a true democracy.
That first project in 1996 was a tea house built out of 10 large glass pieces that fit together like a puzzle. Mark got a 6-month permit to keep the tea house in his yard. He encouraged and invited his neighbors to use the space.
That was a guerrilla project. It was built illegally, and it was designed to attract the city government to it, to attack it and tell the neighborhood they couldn't have it.
As Mark predicted, the people in the neighborhood had grown to enjoy their tea house, and they began organizing to create a more permanent public gathering place.
You know, like, you can get aerial views of villages from all over the world. So we looked at these aerial views, and we saw, oh my God, it's in the intersections where the piazzas are located, or the plazas, or the plazas, or, you know, whatever country you look at. Like, the intersection is a widening, and it's saying where our pathways converge, our lives come together.
Thus, the intersection repair was born. The idea was to paint the intersection and install simple structures, benches, a community bulletin board, a book exchange, a tea house, all things that would make the intersection into a place that people would want to come and hang out, rather than just speed through. It was a real do-it-yourselves effort.
So people said, well, let's take an intersection and turn it back, you know, by God. Like, somebody, I even remember in one of the meetings, somebody said, well, if somebody put the grid over the circles of our ancestors, let's put the freaking circles back. And that was very exciting. So there was this whole will in the neighborhood to do something illegal together and to defy the whole system. And that's when the Sherritt Square was born on Sherritt Street. People came outside. Well, we asked the Department of Transportation, can we do this? And they, you know, can we talk about it? And they said, you know, no way, that's never been done, you know, that's impossible. And so we were like, okay, we know more than them, and it's our place. So we just closed the street for a big block party, supposedly, and then we painted the intersection, and it brought people together, and it slowed traffic, and all these things that people want to have happen, and it happened, you know, without asking permission. It was the only way to make it happen, was to stop recognizing power over us. Well, then the city council legalized it and made it so that all these other neighborhoods could do the same thing at the same, you know, at the same time. The intersection repair ordinance was set up to enable every neighborhood to be able to do this.
Since the intersection repair ordinance was put in place, the organization has repaired at least a dozen intersections in Portland. Most recently, city repair worked on the intersection of 30th and Killingsworth, a project that took place in North Portland during this year's Village Building Convergence. It was one of about 25 sites for VBC 6, the sixth annual incarnation of this event that draws natural builders from all over the country to Portland for 10 days of workshops, hands-on trainings, evening lectures, and potluck meals.
We want to slow down traffic. We want traffic to notice this intersection, which is the only commercial intersection between 33rd and 16th. And there's no stop sign, there's no blinking light, there's no nothing. So people just tear through here down Killingsworth. So we wanted to do something that would make people notice that, hey, this is a small commercial area and there's a lot of pedestrian traffic.
And Sula Press lived in the neighborhood, and she helped to organize the intersection repair. The design of this project includes a lot of reflective surfaces meant to catch headlights and encourage drivers to slow down. Because this area does see so much traffic, the neighbors and volunteers opted to paint the corners rather than the street itself. They used a special kind of reflective paint. Planters with reflective mosaics incorporate broken pottery and bike reflectors donated by the Community Cycling Center on Alberta Street. And Sula says the herbs growing in the planters, which were donated from a local permaculture project, were chosen with area restaurants in mind.
We have sage and rosemary and lavender, and then dragon sedum as a kind of a ground cover. And we also got strawberries, which are over there in the tree well. We had one tree well that had no tree and just weeds, so we dug that out and planted flowering plants that will pick up the colors of the corner painting. And then there's some strawberries over there that were also donated.
Like many of the projects that begin during the 10-day Village Building Convergence, this one is meant to be ongoing.
So eventually we'll also clean up all the tree wells and plant them with ground cover, and there'll be, as I said, I think 12 or 14 planters and some benches and some bike racks, and it's a 5-year plan. So we'll just see what happens. We have a lot of materials, a lot of tile.
Mark Blakeman explained that projects like the one at Killingsworth and throughout the VBC are meant to subvert what he calls the grid system.
If you go outside of your house in Portland, Oregon, chances are you'll be standing on a street that is flat and straight. Standing in the intersection, you can see in every direction, and you can see anything that anyone is doing. It basically is a way to regiment people and to facilitate control. And what you see are straight streets, flattened landscape, subsumed, you know, streams turned into sewerways. But it's not just the geography and the straight lines. It's the fact that power is held somewhere else by people you've never met, who have somehow managed to convince the rest of us that we have no power. So the grid isn't just geographic, it's psychological too. It's a mental construct. It's related to the way that we keep track of time. It's the way that we are regulated or regimented in time according to like work, recreation, basically the cycles that are artificial within which we live. So it's just part of a larger construct that comes with colonialism, where time and space and community lives according to rules they never decided for themselves.
If you're just joining me, this is DIY Portland. I'm Julie Sabatier, and we're talking about city repair and the village building convergence that just took place in May. It rained for most of the 10 days of the VBC this year, but that didn't stop dedicated volunteers and natural builders from working on ambitious projects going on at Awakenings Wellness Center on Southeast 12th Avenue in the Buckman neighborhood. Catherine Burke is a natural builder who came down from Seattle to work on the site.
There's an awesome mural going on the adjacent property, on the wall that faces Awakenings. So it's been a good collaboration with the neighbor to, work that out. And some artists came down from Seattle to put that up, beautiful mural. And we're doing tile mosaic with salvaged glass, salvaged stained glass, and lime plaster on the cement retaining wall that was put in during a remodel last year or something. We're also building a cob bench, and Ramon from Olympia is doing a timber framed, salvaged wood roof over the cob bench with a salvaged green roof. All the materials are salvaged from here in town.
Cob, or a mixture of clay and sand and straw, is a versatile natural building material that works a lot like adobe. It is a favorite among VBC site planners and builders.
Cob is this wonderful, accessible technology of building with, virtually the earth beneath your feet, where you can take a very clay soil. If it has enough sand in it, you add straw to it, water, you mix it in a slurry, and then...
What's a slurry?
A slurry, just like a somewhat wet mix. Like, I guess, ultimately, it's like cookie dough, kind of. Like, it's squishy, but not too wet. And on a tarp or something. I mean, people do it with their bare feet often, and then you can use that to build structures. You can use it to build, benches or walls for houses, earthen ovens. I mean, it's clay, so it's very sculptural.
In addition to its practical versatility, cob is a substance that promotes sustainable ecological building, and as Mark Blakeman says, working with large structures can really bring people together.
You know, when we get together to build with cob, it's not the cob that's the point. It's giving people practice on how to create something that's sustainable and expressive and infused with sensuality and humor and practicality, function. But the main point is to give people a chance to just know each other through making decisions, working together, saying, I need some help, can you hand me that? Hi, what's your name?
Building with cob in soggy weather can be a challenge. At the Awakening site, a plastic tarp serves as a makeshift roof over the project while it's still under construction. When it's finished, it will have some permanent overhead protection. Ramon, a natural builder from Olympia, came to town specifically for this Cobb Bench project.
The roof rafters are all from a tree that came down in a storm in Olympia, outside of Olympia, Washington, a little place called Oakville at Wild Thyme Farm. And the poles came from a mill that was going out of business. And that's basically all the parts there are. And then we'll have a living roof, which basically has a moisture barrier so you can hold soil and water. And then it'll support the plant life, either like sedums or a variety of vine plants and mosses, things like that.
Awakenings is a natural choice for a project like this. Jim Davis is a member of the Awakenings Wellness Community.
Awakenings is a wellness center. It's been around since 97, and it has about 20 therapists that engage in a variety of alternative healing practices, from acupuncture to massage and counseling and coaching and Reiki, sound healing. And for us, the VBC is an awesome opportunity to manifest a sense of the sacred in our landscape, and in kind of bringing that sense of the sacred that is inside our building, outside, and into the community. I really expected to have this be better than I could imagine. And I couldn't imagine what it would be, but I knew it would be good. And now in the thick of it, I can see it's so amazing. It's so much more amazing than I could have imagined. Just that mural is just incredible. I really encourage people to come down and see it. 1016 Southeast 12th Avenue. Come on down and check out this mural because it's fabulous.
We get rain by the bucket, cats and dogs from the sky. We get wrapped in a blanket of fog and bid the sun goodnight. You better like it, love it, or depression's at your door. We get 7 months of rain, and it feels like 74. So rise me up over the mountain.
You're tuned to DIY Portland, where we're talking about city repair and the village building convergence. And that was a song by a local artist, Hunter Pay. His band is Fulcrum, and the song is Portland Showers. The village building convergence is a unique learning experience. Anyone can volunteer for the event and attend daytime workshops and building sites for free. Martin Schulke is one of City Repair's core coordinators. He also works on the VBC.
In a larger world, there are workshops that happen like this all the time. They're very expensive. They're expensive. Some workshops for natural building and other things can cost, and other design workshops can cost $1,300, $1,400, $1,500. For people out of town, we're saying that you can be here, do this now, for just a fifth of that amount. And for the local population, I mean, you can plug in any way and learn. So many people say, this is so cool. God, how do we start this in our own place? And so we offer workshops and foundational materials on how to organize, how to make this happen. And we even travel to those places to help, kick it off. And L.A. is kicking one into place or is opening up. Oakland, places in Minnesota. All the Eastern Seaboard has had an opportunity to hear our presentations, and many people are getting involved there. So it has an effect. We're opening eyes.
He says that while the organization is an innovator here in the United States, natural builders are often drawing on the knowledge of other cultures.
How the heck we got to be considered as prominent in it is probably mistaken. We're learning from the third world. I mean, we travel to those areas to learn to reclaim our connection to what are the natural materials to build with. There was a lot of years of just, you know, working with mud and adobe and understanding materials. And so we have a lot to learn from the third world, but where we, the imperialism of our colonization of areas for resource extraction has undermined their markets and installed it in their minds that, oh, local materials are not the class or not the place where, you know, we're looking to go. They, you must be, quote, low class if you're using mud versus fired bricks or concrete or these high energy materials. And localization is about using what's next to you, the closest. And you start hauling big rocks and stuff like that, it costs a lot of human energy, or it costs some fossil fuels. So to be so presumptuous that we know, we being white people of the first world, think that we need to go and inspire the world how to organize, I think we have a lesson to learn about being humble and, you know, very connected to the earth. And check in, see what we can learn from them.
Drawing on the experience of other cultures and places, City Repair's vision has helped to make Portland America's number one city in terms of sustainability. The idea has spread to other cities in the U.S. and Canada. Oakland, Los Angeles, Seattle, and Ottawa all have their own city repair organizations, working at various scales to reclaim public spaces and bring people together. Among the many things that City Repair has gleaned from village culture is the blurring of public and private space. Each year, many VBC projects work to make private residences more accessible to neighbors and friends. This year, Natural Builders descended on a property at 61st and Clinton to add a bench to a site where a cob oven was built 2 years ago. Justin Frisbee is one of the builders at this site.
It's a private residence, but with all VBC sites, if you agree to do a VBC site, it can be on your property, but you have to, like, one of the rules is that it's open to the public. Like, we will not do a VBC site that's somebody's own personal, like, thing in their backyard not being open to anyone. It's accessible from the sidewalk and from the street, and it doesn't, there isn't, like, any signals of this belongs to this person's house other than it's in the same property. But he's, Mark, the guy that lives here, is really trying to open it up to the neighborhood and to the community.
The site leaders had hoped to expand this project into an intersection repair, but some of the neighbors said they did not want to see the street painted.
And I can't imagine personally why someone would rather see gray, boring asphalt all over the place than a beautiful mural. But, you know, some people are in different ways.
Not every neighborhood is amenable to city repair projects, which is why they mostly work from proposals drafted by communities that have already done the work of coming together to plan something for their space. City repair organizers often help to facilitate this process, but they're not too keen to build in a place where neighbors are at odds over a project. As Mark Lakeman says, they have bigger battles to fight.
Whether people are building cob benches or just acting out in their neighborhood according to, you know, the visions that they have, where they just creatively undertake something and they just shucks, forget to ask permission anymore. That's what we're trying to engender, a radical awareness that's place-based, rooted right where people live. So we're saying focus on one node, one fractal, because the whole system is so fragile. It depends upon deceit. It depends upon dominance. It's so inverted. Like, all of this is such an inversion of our patterns and our inclinations that we all want it to fail. But it can't fail, and we can't survive unless something is there that we've built in its place. So we're constructively engaged in this transformational process to repair the city, but we think that by repairing one, we can inspire the repair of all of them.
Like the projects that they begin in the village building convergence each year, City Repair's vision is ongoing.
And we're doing it because our ancestors used to build in May. You know, they used to come outside and build in May all together. So we're saying, okay, let's stop being conquered and let's use May in this way. So I'm really proud of us for doing this. I mean, I definitely feel like I'm honoring my ancestors by doing this work. But just seeing all the family and community, that's what I love the most.
crystal ball. The forecast is the one thing that's clear. Chance of showers. And that's all.
Thank you for joining me for another edition of DIY Portland. I'm your host, Julie Sabatier, and as I said at the top of the show, this program is on every third Thursday of the month at 10 a.m., so the next show will be on July 20th. If you would like to download this show or listen to any previous shows, you can find them at Radio for All. That's radio, the number 4, A-L-L, .net. Just search for the show under DIY Portland. If you want more information about the City Repair Project, you can visit them at their website, www.cityrepair.org. I'm Julie Sabatier. Thanks for listening to DIY Portland. I hope you'll stay tuned for Julie Bernard and Art Focus.
Good morning. It's the Thursday morning radio zine for Thursday, June 15th, coming up on at 10:30 in a couple minutes here on Art Focus. Tom Kramer guests hosts with part two of a program with Greg McNichol. And at 11 on Democracy Now!, guests include Sarah Rich, mother of Suzanne Swift, the Eugene soldier arrested for refusing to return to Iraq, and Peter Laufer, Vietnam War resister and author of Mission Rejected, U.S. Soldiers Who Say No to Iraq. Medea Benjamin, founder of Global Exchange and co-founder of Code Pink, will be in town Friday, June 16th, that's tomorrow, 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30 at St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church, 330 Southeast 11th Avenue in Portland. You don't want to miss this, an exciting evening with one of the nation's boldest activists and brilliant political strategists. And if you'd like a free pair of tickets, well, guess what? If you're the first person to call right now, 503-231-8032, we have a pair of tickets for this event tomorrow night to hear Medea Benjamin speak. She was on this morning on talk radio with Dave Mazza speaking about Code Pink. You can also learn about her most recent adventures opposing the Bush administration and helping build a movement that can stop the war in Iraq and future wars on terrorism. She will be reading from her latest book, Stop the War Now, Effective Responses to Violence and Terrorism. And for more information, you can call 503-239-4991. But the number for tickets, again, that's one pair of tickets. They might be gone already, 503-231-8032. If you miss those tickets, then go ahead and give a call if you feel. 503-239-4991 for more information about this event tomorrow night, 7 p.m., St. Francis of Assisi Catholic Church, Medea Benjamin. And now stay tuned for Art Focus.